Hello everyone and welcome to Toonami Therapy. It is January 16th of 2020. I am Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And we're here with more stuff, like usual. So, I guess we can just get right to it. Dr. Stone episode 18, which, the threat that we were kind of told about before has actually showed up and threatens the village, but they manage to trick them into thinking that they have guns to drive them off. So then they decide to come when it's raining and such to try invading. But Gen, you know, who has been a double agent this whole time, sabotages the guy's spear in order to thwart him, and here's like the weird thing. It was confusing how Gen actually managed to get away from the guy, because we know that guy whose spear he sabotaged was like super strong, and Gen's just right there. I don't see how Gen could have gotten away from him, but next you see him, he's just suddenly across the bridge. Did he like learn teleportation? that was basically Dr. Stone. It was kind of a fun episode, but I don't know if there's that much to say about it.
Yeah, I don't really have much to add on that.
All right. Let's get on to the next one. Food Wars, episode 24, the end of the season, which is why it, you know, kind of felt like it was suddenly trying to, you know, emphasize all the stuff at the end. So Soma goes up against the spice guy, and but that other guy ends up well, basically, they take first and second place, with the other guy getting slightly higher there by qualifying those two, and I can't remember who the other two characters were. It's okay, because I can't remember who the other two were, but yeah, Somazine, now, and everyone's, you know, so now he's into the bigger tournament, and yeah, that was basically the episode.
Well, I was wondering though, like Meat Meat didn't make it into the top four, so is she like finished now?
If she didn't, then yeah, she's out of the thing. It's only the top four of the two groups, because this is like, if I remember correctly, this is like an 8-person tournament where, you know, it goes into you know, just elimination stuff until the end.
And what's the tournament for?
I don't know. Recognition?
Well, I mean, before it was like this big thing, like if Megumi didn't, didn't win, then she was going to be kicked out. Is that the same thing here?
No. There. That's not the case at all here. This is just a tournament you get into. I can't remember was it like the winner gets a shot at the Council of Ten or something like that? I know maybe it was just a matter of prestige, but, you know, it's still like a big tournament. But no, it's not like if you fail this tournament, you're actually out of the school.
Okay.
Yeah, the problem I'm having is I'm having trouble remembering who is in which group now. Let's see, I know Megumi made it in, then there was also that, assistant person to Erina, but I can't remember anyone else offhand.
Alice.
Alice, yeah, Alice, and also, that assistant, I'm just referring to them as assistant persons, but to her, yeah, that and then two other characters. But yeah, that was the end of this season. It was, I mean, it was at least it was a decent point to end it insofar as, you know, it was at least kind of the, well, it's not even really the end of this arc, but it was the end of this part of the arc, I guess. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Yeah.
Yep, but we've got. Yeah,
who gets in the top four? It ended that much, but it didn't finish the whole tournament.
Yeah.
So.
I like the fact that anime have been much more frequently trying to not end the seasons on big cliffhanger things, to try to like bring some sort of point if they, in case it's not renewed for another season, to finish it. But one of the advantages, I suppose, of waiting this long for it is that we don't have to wait anything. Next week is the next season.
Yep. Yeah. And I think it's now on its fourth season.
Yeah, it finished its fourth, season, less than a month ago.
Yeah, I was thinking of, cheating and, watching it on Hulu or something, but, all I saw was the second season has dubs, and beyond that, there's no dubs yet. So I'm not sure if I'm going to watch it yet.
Was it just the second? I thought I saw the third season had a dub. Let me double check on this. Load, internet, load. Why are you not loading? I command you to load.
Well, that might have just been where I was looking, so.
It might have been. Okay, now you're loading. Sometimes it's so weird because so I like try to go to a site in one like, you know, tab in the browser, and it's like just not loading. So I'm like, okay, I open a new tab, go to the same site, and then that new tab will load before the first tab does. It's kind of weird to me in that way. It might be that only the first two seasons are dubbed, though. That might be the okay, so it looks like the site I was looking at, High Dive, did only have the first two seasons dubbed so far. Maybe I was thinking of Haikyuu. I think I probably was. So we've got okay, so yeah. Well, actually, that does make you wonder if the third season dub will premiere on Toonami, or if they will just skip, or if they'll just like say, "Well, we got nothing else. Hope you enjoyed it."
Mm-hmm. I still can't believe they took One Piece off. I would have expected One Piece to stay on. I don't know. I don't know why they did that. I don't even remember where we stopped, but I missed that. So
yeah, unfortunately, I have heard that actually where we stopped wasn't the worst of places, for the simple fact that apparently it's after this point that the anime's pacing starts getting really bad. Maybe not at right at this point, but I know it's some point after this where people like say the anime just starts having ridiculous amounts of padding. That's what I keep hearing about One Piece, the anime later on. But mm-hmm. As to why, I'm going to guess it's just a simple matter of Funimation wanted Toonami to pay them more money than Toonami was willing to pay them. And that was basically it. Just a simple matter of that. Whether like Funimation was asking for more than is reasonable, whether Toonami was lowballing them or somewhere in between the two, I have absolutely no idea, and most likely will never know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I am more interested in what's coming up next, because then we switch back more to the characters kind of going up against each other. Whereas this was very, how do you say, abstract. Like, people were kind of going up against each other, but still not really directly.
Yeah, yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah. I'm interested in this whole Council of Ten thing. Like, I don't know enough about it to, I just want to see what happens with that.
Okay. All right. So, we move on to, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Golden Wind episode, 9. So they end up managing to, they get to the treasure. Yay. And then they give it to a guy, and they end up also, with the, what's her name? Trish. Trish is like the daughter of the head honcho guy, and they end up sort of with the job of protecting, keeping an eye on her and protecting, her from assassins and stuff. So they're all like, you know, together doing that stuff. And the young guy whose name I can't remember, all I can remember is Giorno, Bruno, and Mista. I can't remember any other character of like the group, unfortunately, yet. Sorry.
That's more than me. So.
I mostly only remember Mista because it's just such a weird name. We need a Porky. Anyway, so they get that. Then that younger guy ends up having to go out to like get groceries. He runs into someone who, you know, is trying to figure out what they're up to. So he basically attacks him with his stand. And I actually do kind of like the fact it just goes straight into it. We don't like necessarily start with an explanation. It's just like, here's my stand. It's a mini helicopter and it's going to try to shoot you. But then that guy manages to escape because his stand gives him the power to shrink, which is actually an ability that's, I'm surprised, hasn't been used before now. But he manages to escape that way and sort of latch a hold on him because he's figured out, you know, where Trish is and what they're doing and plans to, you know, just kind of use that to follow them. And that was our episode. It seems like we're doing kind of, you know, this is kind of keeping the pattern up. Well, the first kind of half of the episode sort of being the introduction to the stand battle, and the second half actually starting that and focusing almost entirely on just one of the characters in order to, I guess, like introduce them more to us and such. And much like all of those previous episodes, that meant I thought the beginning was kind of boring, but then I liked the latter part of it a lot more.
Yeah, I just didn't understand, like, why these guys are even fighting each other. He just, like, sees someone in a car, and then they just get mad at each other, and all of a sudden, boom, we have a stand battle. And I couldn't figure out why they were even angry at each other.
Honestly, that was a little confused. It seemed to me that the guy was trying to get information out of what's his name? I need to look this up to figure it out. That's not it. Narancia. That's his name. Narancia. Okay, so that other guy was one of. I got it. I'm looking at it and I'm getting. Okay, so there's a bunch of traitors to the group, and so they are once again trying to go after undermine the sort of gang, you know, by going after Trish or whatever. And so he was trying to then get information from Narancia. And Narancia, either I'd say that he figured out that guy was bad, but more likely it seems he just got annoyed at him and then decided to start firing at him.
Yeah. The whole thing of stand users being drawn to each other, like, okay, I understand that, but like, it seems like kind of a cheap way of like making every single conflict into a stand battle, you know? You know, like how in Star Wars it used to be like if something didn't make any sense, then all they would say is, well, that's because of the Force. And that would always be the excuse for everything. That is because of the Force. And like, this whole thing of, like, it, you know, every time two characters get together, there's going to be a sand battle. Like, it seems like a pretty cheap way of doing it. You know, there's better ways of introducing conflict, I think.
Well, the thing we have to remember is that stand battles are basically the focus of the series, so you kind of need a reason for that. But even setting that aside, at least in this case, it made sense. Like, given what the two characters are trying to do, it made sense for them to come across each other like this. The bigger coincidence, of course, is that they both happen to be stand users. But it seems like most, I'm going to guess that most people in this, gang are stand users, which might explain why they're the most powerful on one right now. Like, imagine if, Al Capone and all of his gangsters had these invisible forces that allow them to attack anything.
Who's to say they didn't?
You make me think. Yeah. That's how it goes. If his guy has a stand, well, you bring two stand users, and that's how you get Capone. I'm sorry, that's the best parody of that The Untouchable speech I could come up with on the spot. Okay. Yeah, but I will say even the beginning stuff was at least more interesting to me than a bunch of the previous episodes sort of beginning stuff has been. So on the whole, I thought this was pretty enjoyable.
I thought the second half, like, for my criticism of it, I still was intrigued by the second half of it. My biggest problem with this part is just that I don't know. I just don't feel like I have any reason to root for any of the so-called good guys, because all they are a mafia gang. And it's like, well, that doesn't make me really want them to win. It kind of makes me want them to get killed. And that, you know, that would actually be pretty humorous. But like Giorno, you know, he's the only guy I really like. So, it's like these other guys. It's like, well, I don't really care if you get killed, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That is something I've been kind of thinking about. Because with Giorno, okay, his goal is to try to climb to the top of it so that he can try to use, like, the sort of gang for more of a force of good, essentially. Okay, that makes sense. That's a noble goal. And he's gotten Bruno to go along with that. Okay, that's also good. But there's no indication that anyone else in the group has that or cares about it at all. So while right now it seems mostly just a matter of, well, okay, we can cheer for them because the people they're going up against are worse. But at the same time, I feel like we really need to sooner rather than later give some real reasons as to why specifically the rest of the group are people that we should be going for. Because, in fact, that was the thing. Mista, when we saw his flashback, it was all about him, you know, like, being selfless and willing to sort of, you know, risk his life to help someone. And then you're just wondering, well, wait, then how did he end up in the mafia? Like, what is he doing here? If he's a good guy, is it just, I mean, maybe we're supposed to think that Bruno's whole thing, gang, is more noble-minded than the rest of them, but I feel like there just needs to be a little more of an indication as to why these guys specifically we should be going for. Lupin managed to fix it in two ways. One, it's a comedy, and two, it made sure that whenever that the people that Lupin went up against well, the ones he actually, you know, caused harm to were generally, like, you know, definitely bad guys. So even if he's a gray character, the people he's beating are, like, definitely bad guys. I mean, well, Zenigata is a good guy, but, you know, that's more like it's just a perpetual draw between the two of them.
Right.
So, yeah, I do agree with you. I would like a little more on their motivations for joining the gang. I think we'll probably get a bit more of that, I assume, or at least, like, more sort of heroic stuff from them. But, yeah, I think that's a good point. But at the end of the day, I look at the episode and I'm like, this was enjoyable.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Okay. So we got that. Then we're on to Chihaya Furu episode 14.
Oh, Chifuru. Did you ever notice that the theme song has the word Chihaya Furu in it? And I don't even know what that means, but so basically it's another tournament. And I see this one really made me feel like I'd seen this before, because it was like, okay, we have a tournament, we have someone who's really good, we have Chihaya going up against a really good person, and then we have the first half of the match where the other person is just beating her really bad, and then in the second half, all of a sudden she's coming back. And I'm like, how many times are we going to reuse this storyline? Because to me, it felt like I'd seen this before, but I know I hadn't. I know this is a new episode. So, I'm a little frustrated with Chihaya Furu, because it's supposed to be really, really good. And to me, it just seems to be doing the same old things over and over again. And, you know, I kind of prefer the episodes where the characters did stuff other than Karuta. Like, I know there has to be some part, but there needs to be, like, up stuff too. Not just, okay, we won this tournament, now we're on to the next.
Yeah. Well, actually, I really liked this episode on the whole, if only because it at least didn't, it is true that it's a whole, hey, I went up against someone strong, I losing, oh, I managed to, make a comeback, I mean, she actually got a single card.
Right.
But I honestly enjoyed it because I did like the person she was up against. I liked the fact that we've kind of made more of a real rival character for her. And it just did kind of shift it. Just the way how the opponent keeps beating her and taking all the cards. The part that really got my attention is the thing where Chihaya's like, okay, she's really good, so I gotta grab this at the first possible thing. So, like, the idea is, as soon as the person announcing it begins to make the sound, she'll grab it. And then she's doing that, and in the meantime, so she's already doing it, like, trying to do it super fast and stuff. And then her opponent has managed to actually do it even before she did at that. And I was like, oh, okay, wow, that's cranking up the power level here. I just thought that was mostly, I just thought it was, it seemed like it was actually putting more of a direction for the show, possibly. So, on the whole, I did really like it. As long as Chihaya actually does still lose really badly, the point is, okay, she managed to take a car, that's something, which admittedly is kind of a repeat of her thing against Arata way back when, but she was, like, not a beginner now, so I think it works even better here. So I don't know. I'll see how this concludes out, but this actually did get me more interested for the series than before.
Yeah.
Okay. So then we got the time I got reincarnated as a slime episode 22. So they were so Rimuru is taking the kids into this labyrinth of spirits or whatever because they wanted to get spirits to actually I forgot. I think it was had something to do with helping the kids, but I can't remember the specifics. So Rimuru then they go up against someone who summons this giant golem, which is apparently super strong, which Rimuru beats because, of course. You know, I need to make a comment here. I don't have you since I've been watching this on Funimation, they of course do shows that, like commercials that are advertising for their own stuff. And one they've been doing a lot of is this series called Cautious Hero. The premise apparently is that it's a sort of comedy series about this character who's super overpowered but is overly cautious about everything. So the commercial is like showing him like, you know, being all like super like doing all this training, being super strong. It's like, I think I'm ready to fight this. And then the other person says, you're fighting a slime. And I was just thinking, I don't know, maybe he watched that time I got reincarnated as a slime and is being careful because of that.
Maybe.
Okay. So anyway, Rimuru beats it. Turns out that the person who had it is this little actual sort of sprite thing, but does claim to be one of the 10 demon lords. Actually, the stuff with her was actually pretty funny. That was easily the best parts of the episode, their interactions. But then they end up, but Rimuru says, okay, we'll like, you know, I'll make a new golem for you. And then they are going to, I don't know, that's going to allow them to meet the spirits or summon them or something. I don't know. I was a little confused about the specifics of that.
Mm. Yeah. I got to apologize to you. And my apology is that I made you watch this because it started out with so much promise. Like the first, 7 to 10 episodes of it, I really liked the show. I was like, oh, I'm going to buy the Blu-ray of it. And I did. And then this second half of the season, it's just become so... I don't know. There's just really nothing interesting about it, you know? I don't know. Maybe you like this episode more than me. I don't know. I just found myself like not caring about this episode. So
a lot of it I didn't particularly care for. I did think the stuff with Ramiris, I think the name was, like, she was funny because she's like actually really just her personality was kind of funny, especially the whole part about insisting she's one of the demon lords despite being so small. Although it's weird because she's like, you know, annoyed that no one's taking her seriously, and I'm just thinking, okay, if you are actually one of the demon lords, and I'm not sure if she actually is supposed to be or not. You could have just done something to actually demonstrate you're that powerful. So maybe it's actually supposed to be left up in the air about whether that's truthful or not. But, maybe this isn't their true form or whatever. But I did get some laughs out of that sort of thing. But other than that, the episode was kind of unfortunately dull. It's just a matter that it's just shifted so suddenly in what it's been about.
Yeah, that's really bothered me because it's like, I just wanted to know what it would be like if I got reincarnated for a slime. That's what I was hoping to find out.
Okay. Well, you might be interested in whenever it gets the anime adaptation that one I was telling you about, that So I'm a Spider, So What? Because that actually does sound, from what I know about it, does sound like the series is more, its execution at least, is more in line with what you were hoping from this show. Someone, you know, who becomes this like small weak creature and ends up having to just kind of survive as such. That comes sometime this year, I think. So I don't know, maybe if things work out we'll check it out or not. Yeah, we'll see. Okay. So we've got we're moving on to that episode 2. So Subaru works out what, so he figures out, so after dying and coming back again, he figures out what the viewer figured out halfway through the previous episode, which is that when he dies, he gets transported back in time to this specific moment in front of the save point guy. I wish I could say I came up with that joke, but I did a while ago. I watched this like goofy sort of parody summary thing of ReZero called like ReZero in 8 minutes or whatever. I forgot most of it, but I do remember the part where he, in that thing, he just decides to call the Apple seller Save Point Guy. So anyway, so he's still trying to get the medallion back for name still not revealed. I'm not sure why, because I don't think her name, I don't know, is her name actually like a big spoiler, like you finally go, oh wow, it's that name, or is it more like Hunter Hunter where you're just kind of left wondering, why didn't you just tell us the name to begin with?
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, so he ends up, you know, going over back to that place where the Felt, that's her name, had it to try to buy it, and he's trying to, you know, do it quickly before that evil person comes along, which is I can't remember her name, but whatever. Anyway, so they go through that. He's trying to do it, and then, Satella or whatever her actual name is shows up instead of that other person, which is where the episode ends. I did a bad job explaining this, but it was a lot more entertaining than my summary made it sound.
Yeah. So it looks like, I guess, because he took different accents, then that girl showed up instead of Elsa. And
Her name was, yeah. Elsa? Okay, I thought that name came to mind, but I was thinking that can't. I don't think that's her name. That just makes me think of I don't think that's her name. Am I for some reason thinking of the character from Frozen? I guess her name actually was Elsa. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, I interrupted.
So, yeah, pretty good episode.
Okay. And we're back to episode 3 of Shakugan no Shana. So, Shana ends up taking the place of that girl who sort of disintegrated and pretending to be her in order to keep an eye on our main character. So another thing that's reminding me of Bleach, of them, of the girl, of course, going to like his school to kind of keep an eye on him. Anyway, we get a bunch of actually pretty funny stuff with her in the school, because she's apparently super smart and all the, and she's pointing out all the errors the teachers are making, which makes them like feel really sad. Then another monster attacks. They manage to beat it off. Yuji offers some of his life, remaining life force or whatever, to save people. And that's basically the episode. Once again, I thought I describe it. It sounds bad. I do think this was the best episode of the series so far. By a good amount. I don't know. What did you think of it?
I thought some of the stuff at school was pretty good, but then I got really confused with all that other stuff afterwards.
There was one thing that I especially... Okay, so I did, before even watching this, because I knew the guy, he's like, you know, he's going to fade away or whatever, and his fire is burning away, and I'm like, well, okay, he's one of the main characters. There is going to be some explanation for why he isn't, and I did actually spoil myself on that, and this episode sort of implies it at the end, but doesn't actually state it, which I thought was a little annoying, because I'm thinking, like, look, we know that's just going to be the case. Just give us the explanation. It turns, I don't know if I can just, do you mind if I just tell you? It's not really a big thing.
Go ahead.
That, like, sort of treasure thing they mentioned sometimes was in him, but they didn't know what they do. Apparently, it has the effect of, at midnight of each day, it resets the sort of amount of flame as a torch he has. So if he doesn't burn it out entirely, each day it resets to full, thereby making it so that it won't actually run out like it does for everyone else. And it was kind of implied here where she's looking at him and then suddenly... it, like, goes from small to big. And I was just thinking, well, if that's the explanation, I think you could have just said that in the episode to let the viewer know, rather than, you know, just kind of pointlessly keeping this from you.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I was, like, before this, I was kind of ready to just kind of write the series off, but this episode did make it improve a good amount in my... So now I'm not so sure. I don't know. What do you want to do with it?
Yeah, we can keep it for now. I'm just very confused. That's my biggest problem with it.
Okay. I think, yeah, let's, we might, yeah, we, it would make, because I was thinking that we'd want to drop one of these, but I guess we can just keep going, at least for now, with both of them. We've only got, like, two episodes of Slime left any way, so after that, we could maybe more decide fully which ones we want to stick with, or whether we want to drop one and replace it, or something else, or whatever.
On the Blu-ray of Sakugan Osana, they have advertisements for Shangri-La, and I was starting to remember how much I love that series. Let me think. How many years ago was it that I watched that? 3 years ago. Yeah, right around this time of the year, I watched it. And, if you give it a fair chance... you like it, but there is a lot of economic talk that flew over my head. So if we ever decide to watch that, you have to be prepared for economic mumbo jumbo. So yeah.
Okay, well, I mean, profit is revenue minus expenses. It can't be that complicated, is it?
Oh, it is.
Okay. All right. Oh, one other thing I noted. When they were going in class, what was on the board was that, like, a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. And, you know, that's, of course, a line from a Shakespeare play. It's
Romeo and Juliet.
I was thinking it was Romeo and Juliet, and I suddenly decided to look back up. And it just, like, made me think, are these kids reading Shakespeare? Or was it just the word that they were using? Because I'm thinking, like, Shakespeare's can be a bit tricky for native English speakers in high school. These are people in Japan. That's what I'm just wondering. Are they actually reading Shakespeare?
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe it's just like an English course and they're just because that's the thing. It's written on the chalkboard in English. This is definitely some kind of English class. And I was just like wondering, are they doing that or are they just using that as an example sentence or whatever? I don't know. I was just left wondering that. So makes me suddenly wonder if like in other languages, are they usually? Well, I assume Shakespeare is usually translating to other languages. But you know, if they have productions of it, if they have one, are they just translating to Japanese or whatever the language is? Or,
Yeah, good question.
It's harder to tell with plays. Like with a book, I assume most of it is just translate. Like for example, like Don Quixote. I assume that was written like around the time of Shakespeare. You know that like famous Spanish novel. And let me just double check. Yes, it was in the early 17th century. So it's as far away from modern Spanish as Shakespeare is from modern English, essentially. And I'm going to end. Makes me wonder, actually, and I assume people now, of course, they're not going to read in Spanish, they're going to read in English or whatever, but it makes me, like, wonder, suddenly, is it like that, in which I assume in Spanish, you're reading it in the original language, and it's just kind of like Shakespeare, where it's like, you know, you can understand it, but it's good, but you'll want some footnotes to explain some words that have changed meanings and stuff, and I don't know if you know what I'm talking about anymore. Okay. Okay, I guess we can just jump to our favorites then. For me, I think my favorite for the Toonami stuff would be JoJo, and for the other stuff it would be, I think the one that I did enjoy, I like Chihaya Furu and Ri. Zero. I'm just trying to decide which one I liked more. I think I'll actually give a small edge to Chihaya Furu. This episode did get me a lot more interested in the show than I was before.
My choices are, well, of course, I'm going to go with Food Wars. And because Erina appeared in the episode. So if she appears in the episode, the Food Wars automatically wins. And I'm only half joking about that. But for the other stuff, I have to go with Well, I would go with ReZero. The problem is that I watched it last week. So, I guess I'll go to Chihaya Furu as I saw the ReZero thing last week. So, that's probably the best way to do it. And, so there you go.
Okay, well, let's see. Oh, come to think of it, did they announce anything about what, of course, they told us this, they announced that, like, SAO was replacing One Punch Man, right?
I think so.
Let me just double, check. Yeah, it's more of Sword Art Online Alicization, War of the Underworld. Okay. I guess we'll I haven't been keeping up with it. I might watch a little of it. Like I said, I did think it improved a decent amount towards the end, but we're probably, unless like the premiere blows me away, I don't think we're going to be like watching it and covering it for the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Don't know if it's really, I don't know. If I had watched all of the last season, then, you know, I might be watching it, but I lost interest pretty fast. And then you had that really disturbing episode, like halfway through. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess not much else to say. We're probably not going to be covering it. I might watch it off and on, but you know, I don't want to have to. I don't want to be committed to overextend and commit ourselves to too many shows again. And if I'm going to overcommit, I'd rather it be a show other than Sword Art Online.
Yeah.
You know, I really do wonder about Sword Art Online, because it's a show that is apparently really popular, but I almost never seem to see people actually say they like it. It's like it's like the Nickelback of anime. It's super popular, but I've never seen anyone say they like it. Okay, well, I guess that's been those. You can see our previous episodes at tunamitherapy.podbean.com or tunamitherapy.com. We've, I don't know. You have anything else to say?
Nope, not right now.
Okay. Well, dang. I now I'm thinking I should have saved that whole cautious hero that time I got reincarnated as a slime joke towards the end, because that would have been a great thing to go off to conclude with. Oh, I guess it's darn my comic timing misfiring. Well, we'll see you, I don't know, just take it and imagine I said it here instead. And with that, we'll see you next time.